What's your view on the building of a national broadband network? Worth spending a lot of money on over the next few years in order to get something valuable down the track? Or would you think the equation isn't quite that simple? Your view will depend partly on what's called your personal discount rate. Apparently this discount rate has nothing to do with the sorts of discounts we are offered at the supermarket. It's about how we discount time. We treat the future very differently to the present. And our understanding of how we do that is changing. Peter Martin joins us. He is the economics editor of The Age. Of course, he joins us regularly for Everyday Economics. Welcome back, Peter.
G'day.
What's a discount rate?
I'm going to work out yours if I can, Natasha.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. What would you rather have? I'm going to offer you $100 now or $100 in a year's time.
I'll have both.
Okay, if you could only have one, you'd prefer it now.
I actually need it right now.
Yeah, okay, exactly. So even though the two sums of money are the same, think of it as the NBN. You'd much rather have it now, right? But it's not quite that simple. I could work out your discount rate by doing it this way. What would you rather do? Would you rather have $100 now or $101 in a year's time? $102.
$100 now.
Okay, what if I offered you $150 in a year's time?
$100 now.
What, you get a very high discount rate. What if I offered you $200 in a year's time and $100 now?
Oh, I'm...
I think I know what you pick. You got a very high discount rate, that's all I can
say. I'd take 100. Now, if you offered me $10,000 next year and $100 now, I'd then go, yep.
We've got to the point where you have self-control. Okay. So the different people have different discount rates. It's widely believed that they're born with them, actually. There's a famous...
What's the discount rate? Just before we get to that, what's the discount rate then referring to? It's referring to the
The rate at which you discount the future. So, believe it or not, the typical discount rate is 5%, which would mean that someone should be happy with $105 in a year's time.
Oh, right.
You are so over the odds. But they work out that we seem to be born with it. It's the Stanford Marshmallow Experiment.
Ah, yes.
Yes. What they did.
Self-restraint.
That's right. They gave children one marshmallow. They forced them to look at it. You can eat it now or wait 15 minutes and you'll get two. And children found it very hard to wait. But those who did, and by the way, they succeeded basically by sitting on their hands and trying to distract themselves. They're a bit like you. Those who did wait, they've come back to them 40 years later, and they turn out to have been much more successful in later life.
Mm. It's extraordinary. If you've been watching Life at 3 and 5 and 7 and 9, that series, they did that with those children at the toddler age or the relevant age, I can't remember now, and tracking those children on the basis of that experiment amongst others. I think I've misrepresented myself. I would be quite good at sitting in my hands and holding off until the $105 came through.
Not this week. About $100. Well, that's actually...
The electricity bill came in, yes.
That's actually where the new concept, fairly new, the last decade or so, of hyperbolic discounting comes in. And everything that we've been taught about discount rates, everything that I've been taught was wrong. When I went to uni, we were told that a typical discount rate was about 5%, okay, that it was linear, that 5% next year, 5% the year after, and so on. It turns out that people are exactly like you say you are, or not it turns out, there's a theory, it's contested, are exactly like you in that they are pretty darn relaxed about in a year's time whether they get $100 or a year after that whether it's $105. They really don't care. They just don't want to miss out on the $100 now, or they just don't want to complete that task now. On a graph, it's a hyperbolic discounting. It means that now is never the right time to do something unpleasant. But we're fairly indifferent about what time in the future we really don't mind. And now is always the time to have something good. Now, this has incredibly important and disturbing implications for things such as saving. So if there were traditional discount rates about the future, people might save. But if we were really hyperbolic in our views, they're shaped like that, we would think, oh, I'll save tomorrow. And when tomorrow comes, tomorrow is not tomorrow. Okay, it's today.
There's always a tomorrow.
Yeah, and so the hyperbola keeps moving. Now, this is
hyperbola. There we go.
Hyperbola. The implications are horrific, really, for self-control, and it does seem to be a better way of describing things.
Are we all discounters by nature?
Yes.
To a degree.
The only difference is the extent of discounting. So I imagine those children who sat on their hands and refused the marshmallow still had some discount rate.
I wonder whether that's about temperament, but also about life circumstance.
It appears not to be. Well, I suppose it could be, but these were young children. So, in other words, although I suppose you're quite right, there could be a lot of that. There's a paper called "Why Do Dancers Smoke?" Now, many people think that dancers would smoke to lose their weight, but that's in fact not the answer they give for it when asked. They talk about pleasure and so on, and the same type of people seem to... Dancing is a very bad occupation. It doesn't have long-term prospects, okay? You can be injured. It's not a good bet. But dancers tend to smoke.
So they discount the future more, perhaps?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And smoking is a marker for discounting the future. So if you find a smoker and you test them on the kind of tests I just did with you, you'll find that they think very little of the future, which sort of makes sense. So people seem to be certain personality types. Life experiences might come into it. But hyperbolic discounting can be put to good use.
How? So,
save more tomorrow. Save more tomorrow. Richard Thaler is a behavioural economist, came up with this. He's tried it in lots of factories in the US. In the US, saving is not like here with compulsory super. Okay, saving is largely voluntary. So people, when asked, will say, look, I'm not going to save more today. I'll save more tomorrow. So they invented this scheme, and all you have to do is sign up for it. Incredible results from this. These people had savings rates of about 3%. By the end of the scheme, they had savings rates of 13%.
What changed?
What changed is all I need to do is to sign up and say, I will save an extra so many percent out of my next pay rise and all future pay rises. Cost them nothing at the time because it was in the future.
But then they have to commit.
They have to commit. But they're able to get out of it. It's a voluntary thing. They can walk away with it. 80% of people stuck with the program. About 80% of those offered the program took it up. And by making use of this this hyperbolic discounting, which seems to exist, you can commit in many ways. British economist Tim Harford has just given me a very good idea. He's written about hyperbolic discounting, and he said you just need to put your decisions into the future. So, for instance, or bring the future now. So he said, if you're asked to do something, people are asking me to do things, they're asking you to do things all the time. If it's in the future, I tend to say yes. And if it's right now, I say no. He said, just change your mindset. Just think, would I say yes if it was this week? Even though it's November, right? And there are ways of tricking ourselves, I suppose, of making use of the fact that we treat today very differently to tomorrow.
Now, there are risks of discounting the future, and that is, you know, you don't save money, you don't put away.
Or don't care for the environment.
Now, that's at the humanity scale, isn't it? And this is a legitimate concern that people have had, that if we discount the future to the extent that we may no longer be.
Yes. Now, the Stern Review in the UK, the Review of the Economics of Climate Change, is conducted by an economist. It did something unbelievably radical. It threw out most of the discount rate. You know, people like me have been brought up to believe that there's a discount rate, that the evidence is that there is. The evidence is it is probably hyperbolic, especially in Natasha Mitchell's case. But he said that when we're looking at these really big questions, not about our own lives, but about the lives of us and the next generation, different people, a discount rate, he said, is not appropriate. And he had a lot of sort of theory backing this up.
So his don't discount the future at all.
Well, scarcely at all. You discount it a bit because of uncertainty. You know, it's possible the future mightn't be here, okay? But essentially, you don't discount it at all. He said that when you're looking at the next generation, or, you know, the generation later this century that will be affected by climate change, you need to think about them as being people in a different country, country B versus country A. What country A is doing is stealing things, harming country B. In that sort of situation, if it was you, would you want it to happen? No, you wouldn't. And there should be no discount rate. That's probably a realistic way of looking at things. But in our own lives, we do discount the future. We should, because I think the future is uncertain. It does matter less to us. But we need to be aware that we're doing it.
Yes, indeed. Peter Martin, thank you so much for joining us. Very interesting terrain, I think, that one. Discounting the future. What is your personal discount rate? Ask yourself that question. Thank you, Peter.
Pleasure.
Peter Martin there, economics editor with The Age newspaper, joining us for Everyday Economics. Love your thoughts on this one. Get in touch with us.